the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. I'm looking at the time already. So it's a very long chapter. It's 60-some verses. Having said that, some of this chapter is repeated twice. And the reason it's repeated twice, there's a good reason, and I'll go to that reason later, but not now. So this is a beautiful story, and I want us to, you're going to read along with me. This is a beautiful story of faith, a lot of faith. It's a story of finding God's will and knowing God's will and obeying God's will. Now, I don't know if that applies to any of you, but it certainly applies to me. So I have a feeling that I'm going to come away from this learning what God wants me to learn as well as what he wants you to learn. So this is only going to, we only got 25, 30 minutes. That's what we do here. And I'm simply going to have us read through the scriptures once. And along the way, I'll try to highlight things that I believe that I think God wants me to notice or wants you to notice. Having said that, he may want you to notice something completely different. That's the idea of deep speaking the deep. So listen to what God wants to say to you, okay? So let's go ahead. We're going to start out here, and I'm going to read through verse 1, and then we're going to just kind of read through this, and I'll stop along the way. So we're going to stop and see the sights, I guess. Okay. So now Abraham was old. He was advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. I could stop right there and say, what does old mean?
This is chapter 28.
This is chapter 24.
Oh, 24.
Yeah, 24. So make certain you're in the right chapter. We're in trouble. So, he's old, and old is somewhat relative, right? He's about 137 to 140 years old. We know that because the last chapter that David told us about, his wife was how old?
127.
We know that Abram's about 10 years older than his wife. We also know in the very next chapter that his son Isaac is 40 years old. It says he's 40. So we know right now between that chapter and this coming chapter, he's around 137, 140. Okay, that's his age. So they say he's very old. I don't think he's old compared to Methuselah or Noah or even Adam, his predecessors. So it's all relative in what old is, right? So he's there. So he's a whippersnapper in my mind. So the setting here is important. And I want us to kind of notice this setting. God had blessed Abraham in every way, okay? Every single way. That's the setting. He's in his land that God led him to, remember? He led him to this land. And over and over and over again, God says, I'm giving you this land. Over and over and over again, God says, your descendants are going to take over. Your descendants are going to come on this land. And so we're looking for that. And out of those descendants, it's an important thing to know, is that there's going to be somebody that's going to save. A savior is going to come from that. And we look at that and we remember the history of the Bible. And we go back to Adam. We go back to Eve. And if they were listening to God's judgments, they heard him say that from the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of Satan, and he's only going to bruise the heel. That's the gospel. The good news is coming. The good news is coming. It comes through Noah. It's going to keep coming from Noah. But all these guys, they're not necessarily the one where the Savior came from. They're in the line of the Savior. They're a type of it in a sense. And all of a sudden, now we're going to get to Abraham. And everywhere Abraham goes, over and over again, since chapter 12, what did he say? He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you all this land. And he goes through this. So now we're at Abraham. So this setting is important. The setting is important. The setting is now his son is close to 40 years old. The setting is God says that through your seed, Abraham, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. It's difficult to do that through Abraham if his son isn't married. Okay. So even God has it. So let's go ahead. I'm going to look at here. His son needs a wife. Let's read verse 2 through 4. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife. You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. Don't do that. Now, this is just this promise type of thing, this oath. We don't really know how that oath came about, and it's not really that important. The idea is our culture and all agriculture has ways of taking oaths, and they did it here, and this is just recorded. Remember, this is a true story. This isn't just a story. This is a true story. So they take an oath. He takes an oath, but he makes a point to say, I don't want you to get a wife from the Canaanites. Why? Why does he tell him that? Why is he so adamant? The Canaanites, if you remember, do you remember the story of Noah and he has sons and Ham and his other sons. And basically what they basically did is that one of them, Ham, Noah cursed him. He says, not you, the line's not going to come from you. And Ham now is the father, basically, of the Canaanites. And that's where he's living. But another son, Seth, basically, he's the father of the Semites, the Semitic people. Get it? Abraham's listening to the word of God and trusting in the word of God. He knows what happened to Noah. He knows where God wants to draw the line from. And it's not going to come from the Canaanites. So let's read what happens. But he says, you will go to my country and to my relatives, and you will take wife for my son Isaac. So he's inspired with this plan. This plan is inspired. And Abraham talks, just so you know, Abraham talks to God. So this plan is inspired. God's been talking to him. The servant said to him, and so he brought his servant to do this. I think the servant is Eliezer. I think that primarily when I listened to it, but also all the Jewish rabbis of old believed it was Eliezer. That's this prior servant that we heard about that was the most faithful Abraham and thought he was going to give all his possessions to him. This servant is now older, but this servant is still a faithful servant. Remember, he's in charge of all Abraham has. So he's a very faithful servant and a trustworthy servant. Who do you put in charge of something when you're away? Somebody you trust. So he said, then Abraham said, beware, you do not take, he said, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where he came? Abraham said, no, beware that you will not take my son back there. So he doesn't want him going back there. If the woman won't come to him, he doesn't want him going there. You know, he's a Hebrew. He's a wanderer. I don't want my kid back there. I want my kid here. You know, you want to protect your kid. So the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my birth, and here's why he knows the word of God. He took me from the land of my birth, and he spoke to me, and he swore to me, to your descendants, this is the word of God, to your descendants I will give what land? This land. Not that land, this land. Bring him back. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife from my son there. And so when I see that, I notice first the principle is I notice that Abraham, and this is a principle of finding God's word. The first place to begin to find God's word is find God's will, I'm sorry, is in God's word. So he's already been given God's word. Where's the family going to come from? Where's my descendants going to come from? This land. Okay. So he's deciding and checking out God's will based upon God's word. That's a good advice for all of us. Begin to find God's will. And then note, he knows this too. He knows that God can move people to places that he wants. God moved him from his father's house to here. He can also do the same thing with his son. You know, we need to have faith that what God did for us, he can do for your children. He's not a different God for you and for your children. He's the same God. So anyway, he can work through those circumstances. Notice here too, as he tells the servant that he will send his angel before you. Did you see that here? It said, beware. He says, he will send his angel before you in verse 7, and you will take a wife for my son from there. You know, it's interesting. We never see this angel. But God said, I'm going to send an angel before you. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, how often in Scripture? So I looked up some things in Scripture, and I noticed that I found out that in Exodus 20, here, I'm going to read this, 23:20, it says, Moses is talking, and he's repeating what God told him. And God told him, see, Moses, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to a place I have prepared. When God wants to bring you to the place that he's prepared for you, he may very well send his angel. I pray, quite honestly, almost daily, Psalm 91, where Psalm 97 said he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways, that they may lift you up so you not strike your foot against a stone.
Amen.
Trust God that he goes before you. I go before you, said Jesus, to prepare a way. I'm going to prepare the way. I'm going to prepare the place for you. God is preparing. You mentioned earlier, Tom, about, hey, go ahead and when the Last Supper's happening, go into town and you will find this, and I am going to prepare it. So God prepared a place for them. They didn't know what they were doing. They had no idea what they were doing, but God prepared it. Have your eyes open to what God is preparing for you. Be prepared to be surprised. Okay. So verse 10, we're going to read verse 10. It says, then the servant took 10 camels from the 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things from his master in hand. He rose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. That was Abraham's father. And just to think about this, first of all, he's taken 10 camels. He's loaded them up with a big dowry. And this is a lot of faith. This is a faith journey. This journey is 450 to 500 miles away. You're talking 20 to 30 days on camels. This servant, I'm trying to put you in the mind of the servant now. Your master just told you to go this, go do this, go find a wife. You have no clue. Mesopotamia is not just like a little dot in the wall. It's huge. But God's going to prepare the way. He's going to send his angel. And you got to be this, you got to be the servant, and you're sitting there thinking, how's he going to do that? I think this is like a faith journey a little bit for the servant. And sometimes we go on these faith journeys where God begins us one place. We have no idea how we're going to get there. But along the way, we have plenty of time to pray and we have plenty of time to think. And I think God builds our faith sometimes through these journeys that we don't know what's going to happen along the road. So I think that's what's going on here. So in verse 11 to 15, here, let's read this. This is amazing. He made the camels kneel down beside the city by the well of water at the evening time. The time came when women go out to draw water. This is women would go out back then, culture at the time, and they would draw the water. I think they can even do this in Africa sometimes. He said, O Lord, the God of my master. So what's Abraham doing? He's praying. O Lord, the first thing he does. O Lord, what am I doing here? He goes, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom you say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink and I will water your camels also. This is quite, he's expecting a lot, okay? May she be the one to whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to me. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. So here, I wrote down, jotted a few notes here, and I want to just kind of go through these, what they are. The servant is trying to discern God's will. He has to find a wife for Isaac. So what is the first thing he does? He prays. He prays. Let me just suggest, in order to hear for God, hear from God, God needs to hear from you. Don't expect to hear anything from God if you're not talking to God. If you don't want to talk to him, you want to ignore him, don't expect anything. God says something very clearly. He says, draw near to me. Draw near to me. Go ahead, try it. Draw near to me. Get down on your knees when you're troubled or you're anxious or you don't know what turn to the left or the right and everything seems confusing. Draw near to me and I will what? I will draw near to you. It also says, don't give up in prayer. He's praying. He's praying very fervently. It says this in the Bible. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, do what? Ask God. He's beseeching God. He says, God, I need you. Help me. Please do this. Show me a way. Show me a sign. You know, I'm even fond of fleece if it's led by the Spirit here. I'm going to do that. And Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, and this is a request, be known to God. This is the word of God. That in order to have faith, you have to trust the word of God. And notice this, and I thought this was fascinating. I happened to notice this. I thought about it. Said before he finished praying, it says this, before he finished praying, the woman comes to the well. God is answering the prayer. And I thought back to the book of Daniel. Remember the book of Daniel? And remember Gabriel? All of a sudden, Daniel's fervently praying like this servant. He's fervently praying. And before he finishes, his Bible says, before he finished praying, Gabriel showed up. Gabriel says, as soon as you were starting praying, the Lord sent me on my way. And I came to find you. And this is what I did. You'd say, well, I haven't finished my prayer yet. God says, look, you don't need to finish your prayer. I know your heart. I said in Psalm 139, before you finish a word or have it come out, I know the word on your mouth before you say that word. God's looking at the heart. He's looking at the heart. Your heart says it all. He's looking for those that have a pure heart. Blessed are those that have a pure heart, for they shall see God. So he's looking for that heart. What is your heart about? So he does this, and he says, Jesus even said this. He says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in our hearts? It's in your heart. Acts says, God knows the heart. It's the heart. He says, show that accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them. It's the heart God's looking for. Not looking for just what you do. He's looking for the heart. The thoughts and intentions of the heart, says Hebrews 4:12. That's what the word of God judges. I can't know your intention. God knows. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters what your intention is a lot of times. It doesn't matter what you do. But so let's read this here. So verse 16. Before he finished speaking, the girl comes out. She was beautiful, a virgin, a man, and no man had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And she said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered the jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now, when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. That's pretty amazing when I think about it. I heard that camels can drink like 20 gallons of water. And you got 10 camels. That's one heck of a woman. Okay. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw. And she drew for all his camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence. He's stunned. He's gazing at her. Oh my goodness, what's going on here? He's gazing to know. He wants to know something, though. He really wants to know. He wants to test God's word. He wants to test God's word. He wants to know whether the Lord made this journey successful or not. Now, she was attractive, and I don't necessarily want to say that as, you know, attractive. First of all, Abraham never said she has to be attractive. The servant never prayed she had to be attractive. That's just something God threw in for Isaac, in a sense. I mean, besides that, it's in the eyes of the beholder. But so I'm not going to go anywhere with that. But what is essential is that she's serving the servant and the camels. The woman is both humble and she's chaste. You know, remember, the servant's looking for somebody to fit the mold of a wife and enter into Abraham's family. Abraham is humble. We're looking for somebody that's going to do that. He was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord made his journey successful. He's noting and he's observing. You need to watch. You need to wait. You need to observe. You need to know, is this God's will? Slow down a bit sometimes. See if all this adds up. Okay? So he gives her this, then we're going to go to verse 22. Let's see here. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels in gold. This is a lot of money. Could be a year's worth of income for one of these kids. So it's a lot of money. And he said, whose daughter are you? So he's checking again. I need to know. Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your house? She said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. He's like, ta-da, Nahor. That's my master's brother. Okay, I could be in the right place. Again, she said to him, we have plenty of both straw and feed to room and room to lodge in. Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way of his house and my master's brothers. And when I look at that, here's what I wrote here. I thought this was interesting. Not only was she hospitable, but she's confirming everything he was looking for. And then what's he do after he starts to see that? The first thing he does is what? What's the first thing the servant does? He worships and gives thanks. He worships and gives thanks. If you're looking for God's will, and God answers you, what's the first thing you should do?
Give thanks.
And worship. This is a good lesson for us. Give thanks to the Lord in everything. Give thanks. You know, how often do you go through your day and look back at your day and see how God worked in your day? And if you ever do this, and I like to do it more often, I keep making a pledge to do it more often, is to sit there at the end of the night and say, hey, God, here's five things or whatever that I see that I can be thankful for today that I'm going to notice rather than just going to bed and not noticing them. Because they're so, you know, basically the news and everything else puts everything they want you to notice. But what I'm suggesting is maybe you want to notice what God wants you to notice. How he's working in your life, how he loves you, how he's taking care of you, how he's sovereign over all things. Look for those things. God wants to encourage you. So the servant worships, and it made me think, how often do I do that? So verse 28 to 30, this is interesting here. Then the girl ran, told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother, his name was Laban. And Laban ran outside to the spring, man at the spring. When he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, this is what the man told me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. He says, come in, blessed are the Lord. Why do you stand outside since I prepared the house and a place for the camels? Now, what you don't know right here is that later on, Isaac has a son, Jacob, and Jacob ends up working for a wife, and the guy's name is Laban, and he's kind of a conniver. So you almost see this, you see a little bit of preview here of Laban. He basically sees all this jewelry, gets all excited, and ka-ching, and he like runs. Okay, so he's kind of excited about this. And so, you know, we don't know what's going on here, but, you know, it's a little preview going of what's to come. So the servant, you know, so let's read here verse 32. So the man entered the house, and Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed the animals and water to wash his feet of the men who were with him. Now, we don't hear a lot about these men, but apparently when you had all these camels with all this load of dowry, you needed somebody to protect it on the way. So Abraham's a very wealthy man. Remember, he had an army. So it's not unusual for him to send men over to protect them on this long journey. So he said to Abraham's servant, the Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. And he goes, and I don't know, I'll read right in here, but if you just keep reading here all the way through, he's repeating the exact same story. He's repeating, he came to the spring, he repeats exactly what happened to the woman's response. He tells them exactly everything that happened. He said, even before I was speaking in my heart, here it says in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder, and she lowered the jar. And so it says, and then he bowed down and worshiped. So everything here is a repeat. It's exact repeat. Let me ask you this. So why do you think God's repeating this whole story again through verse 49.
It's emphasis.
Because he wants you to know, basically I think here it says, he wants to tell the whole story. He wants to make it absolutely clear that this is the will of God. He tells him absolutely clear, this is the will of God. Because he's repeating all the details over. God's saying, look, I want you to know, readers today, that I found a wife for Isaac. Honestly, I can find a wife for you. I can find a wife for your son. I can find a husband for your daughter. I can find a wife. Lowell's got his hand up. Okay. So, you know, God can do that. God can just don't believe that God doesn't care about that. But, you know, God wanted to find a wife for him, and he wanted it not from the Canaanites. I mean, there is something here, too, about being unequal yoke. He wanted a wife that spiritually was in the same realm. Okay, and so he was doing that. So then in verse 50 to 51, it says this. It says, then Laban and Bethuel replied, the matter comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you good or bad. Here is Rebekah. Before you leave, take her and be with her as the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. And then when Abraham heard this, his words, he bowed down again to the ground and he's going to pray. What's going on here again is that he's basically saying they were overwhelmed. You can't tell me all these things happen and would be, no one can deny that this is the will of God. How can we argue? How can we argue that this is God's will? So verse 54 to 57, I'm going to read that. Let's see here. So the servant brought out, first of all, articles of silver in 53 and articles of gold and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her and her brother. So now he's given all the dowry because he knows this is the woman. Okay. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. And when they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10 days, and afterwards she may go. I watched the servant. He said to them, do not delay me. Since the Lord has prospered me my way, send me away that I may go to my master. I know the will of God. You know the will of God. We all know the will of God. Obey the will of God. Obey the will of God. And so what they do is here, listen to this. I'm going to read further down here. Let's see Rebecca's response here, 54 to 57. And they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, guess what she said? I will go. I will go. It made me think of the times where Jesus tells these stories and said, hey, you know, come follow me. And they said, oh, I got to go bury this person. I got to go get my house in order. I got to fix the fence. You know, or Elijah tells, follow me. And he throws down the oxen. And he follows him. And God constantly is doing this. He says, follow me. He gives parables about this. Follow me. I am God. Follow me. You have the most important person in the world coming to you and saying, follow me. I'll make everything right. You follow me. Drop everything now and follow me. And I think this is a testimony to Rebekah. What does Rebekah say? I'm going to drop everything. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go. I will go. She has to choose what she's going to do with her will. Choose this day whom you shall serve. But for me and my household, we will choose the Lord. I will. God is waiting for each of us to hear those two words. I will. I will start praying more often. I will start trusting you more often. I will start obeying your word and having hope, even though it doesn't feel like everything's hopeless around me. I will go ahead and step out in faith. I will. Think about the things in your life where you need to say, I will today. Let God speak to you here. Okay? Don't let me speak to you. Let God speak to you here. So then Rebekah rose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. We're almost done here. And in verse 60, they say, they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands and ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. It's interesting. They're given a blessing, and this blessing was almost similar to the blessing that God gave Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis. But at the same time, you have to understand who Rebekah's going to have. She's going to have a son, and the son's name is going to be Jacob. And the son's, God's going to change his name to Israel. And Israel's going to be God's people. From the tribe of, and that tribe of Judah eventually is going to come the Savior. She truly is going to be blessed according to this prayer. Pay attention to some of these prayers. Listen to the words that God is speaking to your heart.
Yes.
Okay. So here, let's get here to verse 63. Okay. So Isaac went out to meditate. The word meditate here basically also means pray. So Isaac, this is coincidental, huh? Think about this. It's coincidental. Now, Isaac came out, and he was living in Negev. He went out to meditate in the field toward the evening, and he just so happened just so happened to lift up his eyes after he was meditating and praying, and Isaac saw her dismount from the camel. He's praying. It's not just so happening. It's happening because he's praying. It's happening because God's answering his prayer. It's happening because God says, and now lift up your eyes. Where does my help come from? You know, when you pray, start opening your eyes to see how God is answering your prayer. If you're not opening your eyes looking for the answer to prayers, then you're not really believing and having faith that God heard your prayer. Start noticing. God wants to show you himself at work. And a lot of times he's showing yourself at work in the details, the little things that don't seem insignificant. It's the insignificant things that amount to become the significant things. So he's telling you to do this. So Rebecca then lifts up her eyes. He lifted up his eyes. She lifted up her eyes. Oh my goodness, this is a love story. And they meet. And she says to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant says, he's my master. And then she took her veil and covered herself. This is going to be her husband. And she's humble. And the servant told her, then the servant went out and told Isaac all the things he had done and what he had said and everything that happened. Just like he told other people, just like he says it again. What's Isaac going to do? Isaac knows this is the will of God. Isaac knows this is the will of God. And when you know the will of God, you have one choice.
Do it.
Obey it. Oh, you have another choice. It's not a good choice. Choose it wisely. So the servant told Isaac, then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I told you that this is a love story with a good ending, right? It's a great ending. I told my kids once, they said, watch this movie. I said, I don't want to watch the movie unless it has a good ending. I'm tired of watching movies with bad endings. You know, the ending that God has for you is a good ending. You know, enter my kingdom to the place that I prepared for you. It's a good ending. It's a good ending. God reigns. It's a good ending. There's something else I want to just point out before I close here. I noticed this, and this is, I looked at this because I heard a number of Christian authors throughout the centuries, throughout time pretty much, saying that this is also a little bit of a type, or it's an analogy to what God does. And a lot of times God uses types. We see that all the time. And it doesn't necessarily say this in the New Testament. It does say something that's very clear. It says we see it in the Old Testament, that we see Isaac being a type of Christ, right? He's going to be sacrificed. So if you look here, you kind of see a type of what God's doing for the bride of Christ. You see the Father, Father Abraham, Father God. You see the Father doing what? Sending his servant, the unnamed servant, to do what? To bring somebody back, the servant, the Holy Spirit comes. Matter of fact, you know, just so you know, the word Eliezer in the it actually means helper. The word Holy Spirit means helper. I'm just telling you to notice this. I happened to notice and thought about it. I looked it up. Okay. So, and then Isaac is a type of Christ. Rebecca is the bride of Isaac, like the bride of Christ. Okay. So God, the Father, sends the Holy Spirit to bring the bride of Christ to Christ. And this is a wonderful picture of that. It's not hard for God to do this stuff. And I'm not saying you have to go there with me on that. Just go with the rest of the chapter that I just read. All the rest of it is very clear. But notice what God wants to do in your life. First of all, he wants you to know that you can find God's will through God's word. He wants you to notice the circumstances that God speaks to you in all those ways. And then he wants you to have faith. He wants you to trust that God loves you and he's going to be faithful to his word. You know, God is always going to be faithful to his word. You may remain faithless, but he remains faithful, says Timothy. So trust him, okay? So I want you to today, I want you to start noticing. I want you to pray today, and I want you to start noticing God at work in the little things. And then tonight, I'd like you to ask, say, thank you, God, for the things that you noticed, okay? So let's pray. Lord, these men are not even here by an accident. Neither are the men on Zoom. But every man, Lord, is a man that you want to speak to. Every man, Lord, is a man that you died for. Lord, it was no small deal for you to die. It was the greatest gift ever given to man. It's the greatest gift ever given to each of these men. They have something, Lord, that's eternal. They have you. And they have your love, Lord, which is eternal. They have the love of God eternally. And Lord, you said you'd never leave them and you will never forsake them, and that you will love them with your all. Lord, let them receive and accept that love. Let them start believing the truth, Lord. Keep them from the snare of the trapper, Lord, who does nothing but lie. And let them speak the truth of God's word back. Let them say it, Lord. Let them shout it from the rooftops in their soul. Lord, I just thank you now for these men. I pray that you'd have them just speak to them in their hearts, Lord. Do what you do best. Do what I cannot do. Do what you love to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay.